So first of all, thank you everybody who's participating in this event. It's incredible to see this kind of turnout. I think it speaks a lot to the strength of recovery program. So with that being said, I'll brief introduction about myself. I'm not going into a whole lot of detail about my ACA past. So I want to focus more on inner loving parent. So this will be somewhat brief. I was born in the state of New Mexico in a rural place. My family owns a business. It's a store that sells liquor, cigarettes, beverages. It's like a small country general store. And we also have like a ranch. So on top of this business, we also there's also like a small cattle operation that was going on. So I mentioned that just to illustrate that I had a very busy and full childhood. One of the results of growing up next to this business that sold alcohol, and keep in mind the building that I grew up in housed both the business and our actual home. So on one side of the door literally was my private life, my family's private life, and I walked through one door and it was public life. So that made it very challenging to know what to do with feelings, what to do with emotions, how to shut them on and off. Because, you know, there might be a family fight on one side, but then I walk through that door into the public and suddenly I have to put on a blank face and just completely shut down and put a professional foot forward. And mind you, I'm a kid doing this. Like, a kid shouldn't necessarily be having to think about being professional when they're 8 or 10 years old, but that's what I had to do and learn to do. So I just want to say about that experience that I witnessed not only alcoholism in my family through my dad, but I also witnessed the alcoholism in the community. And when I say alcoholism, I'm also tossing in other intoxicants in there, like drugs. So I saw men cheat on their wives, women cheat on their husbands. People start drinking light and then the drinking get heavier and then they end up losing jobs or they get in vehicle accidents or some people would get better and you would see their life kind of improve. But I got to see all this and from a very young age, I realized like I cannot take the risk of drinking or drugging. So I never drank, never did drugs. Because I just saw how terrible a thing it was. Plus, I knew it had been kind of ransacking the family tree through generational dysfunction, lost the grandfather to it. Two grandfathers, actually. Just saw the mess that it made, so I chose not to go that route because I didn't want to take that risk. I encountered ACA about 8 years ago. And I knew there were others out there. I knew there had to be other people out there like me who grew up in dysfunctional homes, but I had never really met them until the program. And I won't go into too much detail about the impacts of that. I'm currently in a workbook group. We're about to finish up our step 12. We're just a few weeks away from being complete with the entire 12 steps. My first introduction to inner loving parent and inner children was obviously through it being the terms and concepts being brought up in meetings, and I'm getting more familiar with it with Inner Loving Parent guidebook that's out now and all the meetings that have popped up around that. But I'll be honest, I'm still learning a lot about what Inner Loving Parent is and what and how to develop that relationship between Inner Loving Parent and my inner children. So I'll just quickly say that I from my background in that kind of chaotic world I grew up in, I kind of developed a somewhat protectionist program where I feel like I'm protecting my inner child a lot from the dysfunctions I perceive in society, which includes, and others have very eloquently shared about, consumerism, environmental degradation, speciesism, which is like human beings thinking like they're the superior species and are here to somehow manage the rest of the planet. And then the various forms of inequality in our society, like sexism, racism, gender inequality, inequality with neurodivergent persons versus other members of society. And then also workaholism. I think the US was very much addicted to work and making money. We just have a very strange relationship with money and work. And so often I feel like my recovery, a great deal of it, is protecting my inner child from those influences and from the effects of those dysfunctional channels in our society. So I kind of broke this down really simple. I want to talk about how my inner loving parent protects my inner children. And one is obviously starts with home. Like I realized by having different living situations that home, a sense of security, safety, warmth, and belonging is crucial to my inner children's sense of safety and feeling loved, feeling nurtured, feeling cared about, feeling seen and recognized. So I keep a fairly clean house. I think it makes my inner children feel very valued when their surroundings are being valued. I have taken a lot of great pains to like reduce clutter where I live. I'm actually a very interesting person in that I've adopted a somewhat furniture-free lifestyle, which is pretty self-explanatory, to minimize furniture. Before I lived in this apartment, I had, all the whole works, the dining set table, the couch, like all that stuff. And I hardly ever used it. So I was like, I would rather have open space where I can physically move my body, move my being, so that I can dance, do yoga, stretch, exercise, spread out a huge project on the floor and not have to like be bumping into things and moving things around. So that kind of decluttering is also something I feel is important for my inner children. And as far as physically, like nutrition and such, I've cut out a lot of processed foods like sugars. I try to get those from natural fruits. I don't drink sodas, all that other good stuff. I don't want to go down that path too far, but suffice to say, I try to cook from scratch and just show my inner children like your body is important to inner loving parents. Like, and when you feel good, when you feel healthy physically, like the rest will follow along that much more easily. I also kind of try not to stimulate my inner children with like TV advertisements, too much web surfing, that kind of thing, because I feel like it's pretty easy to understand that what you consume through food is important to the health of your body, but I think sometimes the point isn't as sharp in our society that what we consume through our other senses also impacts our being. So I'm cognizant of what I absorb through my other senses. And also, if I encounter bad energy, somebody's cranky or someone's upset or something on TV or internet is, or radio or whatever is like, this doesn't sound right, and then just shut it off. So I would say that's kind of like the more defensive, protectionist part of how I work with my inner children. And I want to switch gears to like, well, what are the positives? What are the healing things I do for my inner children? And as I said earlier, I'm still learning, so I am humbly here in front of you saying I'm not an expert at this. I wouldn't even say I'm good at it. I'm learning. And fundamental to that learning for me is some type of mindfulness practice. I believe prayer, meditation, spiritual rituals, whatever form they come in, can be very effective in building the level of self-awareness and mindfulness that's needed to be cognizant of all these strange things that surface as we are peeling this onion, because I'm sure many on this call can relate to what I'm saying, and when I say that some of what surfaces just comes out of left field. It's bizarre. Like I didn't even know half of this stuff was there. And what I find is very surprising. So I feel like having some level of awareness and a practice that develops that awareness is critical to recovery. Also, I do a lot of check-ins with myself, like if I something doesn't feel right or I feel triggered, it behooves me to stop, check in with my inner children, ask them, like, how does this situation or this person or those words make you feel? And what do those feelings bring up? Like, do they bring up a past traumatic experience? Do they bring up a past episode where my inner children felt wronged in some way? And I think recognizing those things goes a long way towards the healing process. And as somebody else shared earlier, it's really hard to recognize what a feeling is or what a response is as an ACA. So for me, it's a lot of practice. And a good one, of course, somebody also mentioned this with HALTs, the hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or serious. That for me is a really good, effective way of checking in with my inner children throughout the day. I encourage my inner children a lot, especially through affirmations like, you're doing a good job, or wow, what you just did is pretty incredible. I'm impressed. Like, and I get creative with the affirmations. They can be simple as good job, or they can get like, holy smokes, you chopped that jalapeno in less than a minute. You're incredible. So getting creative and specific about my affirmations is really helpful to my inner children. I communicate a lot with them And for me, I'm learning more and more that most often my inner child's not looking for
5 minutes.
advice. Thank you. He's not looking for advice. He's not looking for props. He just wants to be heard. So I'm learning one of the major functions or roles of my inner loving parent is just to be a neutral ear, to listen to what my inner child has to say. I avoid giving my inner child like anything beyond like neutral feedback, if that makes sense. So I won't tell my inner child like you need to fill in the blank, or you should do it this way, or relax, calm down, chill out. Like, I don't give them messages like that. I tend to focus more on just listening and kind of repeating back to my inner child what I heard him say and seeing if he has anything to add to that, and kind of let it just be a process of self-discovery for my inner child, because my inner child doesn't know himself well. He was trained to be professional from a very young age and to just shut on and off feelings and emotions and to not communicate his thoughts. And also being consistent in communicating my inner child is pretty important. So not just to communicate with him when I have 10 minutes to lay back and just stare at the sky, but also like when I'm in the thick of like a work-related stress or a phone call or some situation that's a little challenging. If I communicate with my inner child during those moments, it goes a long way towards building like that sense of trust and faith, really, in my inner loving parent. So yeah, building that consistency is pretty critical for my inner children. I also provide my inner child with time and tools just to exist, because this is a part of myself that was shut away or ignored over and over and over again. So just existing can be incredibly powerful for these inner children. So I've kind of got some creative stuff in my house, like colored pencils, watercolors, jump rope, bicycle. Somebody had also mentioned clothing, and I feel children, especially inner teen, is big on expressing himself through clothing, through color, or through, clothing. Teens are all about their style, their personal style, all that kind of thing. So I let my inner child express himself through clothing. Being around people that my inner children like, that they enjoy being around. And then this is a big one for me, giving my inner child time and space to dance. Like, I've learned over the years, like, holy smokes, dance is an incredibly therapeutic form of communication and expression. So I very frequently give my inner child time just to dance a feeling out or dance a
1 minute.
situation out. Thank you. Appreciate that. So also giving my inner child time to create and time to rest. Rest is always critical. To set and explain boundaries to my inner child, not just to say like, don't do this, but also like, let's not do this because. And then just allowing them freedom to grow in there. And the last thing I'll say is I provide my inner child with recovery. Like, I love coming to meetings, love being able to be outreach with other fellow trackers, do service. Service helps my inner child feel like important, recognized, and also I think develops some skills that he may not have learned through the family. and society. So I think I will honor the time and leave it at that. Thank you all for listening.